Today is 20 February. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Forced reset. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I'd like to note to everybody here that Wednesday has come and gone. Okay, we are now being given new deadlines by the guy in the White House. I would not lose any sleep over what's going on. Does anybody remember who is overseas right now that's supposed to be negotiating this?
Yeah, Kamala.
Okay, there you go. The person that is in the second position of the administration right now. Yes, Kamala Lama Ding Dong. That is correct. She is over there right now, and this is obviously setting up things because she's had failure after failure after failure. Nobody wants to work with her. They're all quitting. They are trying to boost her image. We know nothing is going to happen there, or at least I am pretty certain of that. Now, some people disagree with that, and they've been reporting on these prophecy reports that there's going to be a war on Wednesday. And don't get excited by those type of things. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But don't let people push you into believing things that are obviously being set up right now by the administration. They are in bed with Putin. Okay, they're on the same page. So whatever happens, they are going to make her look good because somebody has to take over. This guy is going to be out soon. He's got no brains left. We didn't have any anyway, but yes, we know what's going on. So please don't be upset about this. Wednesday has come. Wednesday is gone. Things continue on. Okay. We have some visitors here today. Actually, we've got quite a few visitors here today that have never been here, or one here that I just have to highlight because of the special circumstances. But first, we have Roger and Janae Blaney. Okay, they're here. They're visiting all the way from Oregon. Yes, with GUN Oregon. And I got to have some Korean food with them on Wednesday, was it? No. What day was that? Maybe it was. Anyway, one day this week. Thursday. That's right. Because then I came into here to do the funeral. That's correct. So it was Thursday. And then after that, we went to Spanish Point. Everybody, if you come to Sarasota, I'm probably going to take you to Spanish Point. Yes. And shocking. And did you enjoy Spanish Point?
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. So they are here. They're going to be leaving in another 2 days. Is that right?
Next
Thursday. Okay, well, then maybe we have time to get together again. I don't want to promise, but I'll try to make time. It was a really wonderful day I had with them. Really special people, and so welcome them when you get a chance after the CG report. And then next we have Kathy and Tracy Horn, and they are visiting from just north of here. Where was it? Riverview, thank you. I had to remember that because Riverview High School is where I went to. Anyway, but not that Riverview. Yeah. Riverview High School here. Okay, anyway, they weren't certain if they were going to come down today. They were hoping to meet Sergio and Rhoda, and unfortunately, Sergio is sick. And 2 days ago, he got a COVID test. He's been miserable, this guy. And just 5 minutes ago, I got a report that he does not have COVID. So he's feeling better this morning, but not well enough to come to church. Rhoda is obviously pampering him as she does. And so I apologize that you guys don't get to meet them today. But I want to tell you that, and this is for the people watching online as well right now, is that they have come out with a new video. It's the longest video that they have ever produced. It's almost an hour long. We went through it yesterday, and he cut it from an hour and 12 minutes down to, I think, 55 or 58 minutes. Maybe it was an hour and 6 minutes. It was right around an hour long, and it was an explanation of a video that they did recently, okay? And you were here for the whole thing, only you two, so everybody else came in as it was going on, but did you enjoy it? She laughed especially through the whole thing. She never stopped laughing. I hope that you will take the time to watch that video today. It's, as I said, it's a recapitulation. Is that the word of what happened in a video 3 years ago or 2 years ago? And I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with the trip I took to Israel. And so we're talking about it. And so I hope you will enjoy that. All right. And then next we have Chris and Adrian and Izzy Port. And these are some really wonderful people here. Okay, I've known them for quite a while by email, maybe 5 or 6 years. And finally, they've come down to the church today. And their daughter, Izzy, is attending I don't want to give the name of the school without permission, but she's attending a school here in Sarasota. I think it's in Bradenton, which is the next town up, but it's right on the close to Sarasota. Okay, she is attending IMG, which if you know that, it's an academy for really exceptional children. And so obviously we're sitting with somebody that's going to be famous here someday. No doubt about it. And she's got just a real pleasant smile. And so it's so nice to have you guys here. And I thank you for making this effort. It does mean a lot to me. And I will say something. I might as well say this right now, is that we're here and I got this in the mail a day ago, and that's what it looked like when it came in, and I thought, what is that? And the reason why I'm going to say this is because you're here right now, is it came in the mail from the people that we have supported in Uganda for a long time, is Isaac Nemugera. He's got his ministry over there, and he had the ladies in his town make the church, the people in the church, things, you know, necklaces and all kinds of stuff. So I would like you to also take something home as a memento, because they have been a great help to Isaac's ministry. I think you're on the board of the, yes. And so please take some of this, and I'll have this sitting out for everybody in the church. This is a thank you from Isaac. So there you go with that. And one other group that I have to mention them, even though he's been here 3, 4, 5 times, is a guy I went to high school with, is Scott Kellaway, and he's visiting right now. He and his wife, Gail, the children are finally moved out of the house. All of them went to college, and Scott is one of those wonderful people that I have personally loved my entire life, but in the past year, something special has happened in his life, and he has made a complete commitment to Jesus Christ. He's sat here and listened to my preaching and it's had no effect on him. And all of a sudden this year, he is completely committed. He'll call me to pray with somebody or whatever. And I'm just so proud of him that I'm sorry to embarrass you. But Scott, it's a true honor to finally have you here in this capacity. Somebody I've known almost all of my life. So there you go. And surprising he's still alive with all the things we did in high school, but there you go. I know the introduction has been a little bit long, but there you go with that. Now we got some news from Israel. From the Times of Israel, dumb phones. That's a phone that doesn't do anything. Okay, you all probably don't even remember that. I never even got to the dumb phone thing because I'm not going to own a phone, but dumb phone sales in Israel jump amid fears of NSO's Pegasus. This is a blowback from what them spying on their citizens, and now people are buying dumb phones so that they're not going to be spied on. The Israeli importer of Nokia products says there has been a 200% increase in sales of so-called dumb phones in the past week. This is about a week ago, so I'm sure it's going to go up exponentially once people realize that they still make these things. The jump is thought to be driven by Israelis worried about sophisticated spyware like NSO Group's Pegasus, after reports that police spied on civilians with the software. And this is something that you all might as well buy yourself. If you're going to be planning a rally to drive your truck to Washington, D.C., you might consider getting a dumb phone, right? I mean, because our government is as out of control as Israel, and maybe not as far as Canada right now, but it's getting there. It's getting there. They are out there actively working against God-fearing Christian believers and people that believe in the Constitution. Oh, I shouldn't say I'm going to be arrested. We believe in the Constitution of the United States. But there you go. Non-smartphone devices have limited internet connectivity, if at all, do not allow browsing, and don't have messaging platforms such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and others, making them more difficult to infiltrate. The Calculus Financial newspaper, which has not cited any sources or evidence, reported that spyware was deployed without the required judicial oversight against senior government officials, mayors, activist leaders, journalists, as well as former Prime Minister Netanyahu's family members and advisors. According to data over the past 3 days, over 4,000 simple Nokia units were purchased. In a normal week, between 1,000 and 2,000 devices are usually sold. Liav Ron, manager of the Nokia brand in the HY Group, told Walla that there is a meteoric rise in the sale of old generation phones. These are simple send and end phones, which have seen a crazy increase in sales. It came out of nowhere. Asked how safe the devices are, he said, "Only hackers and law enforcement can answer this question, but all in all, the old generation feature phone that is not a smartphone does not have content like Facebook and Instagram, so already there is not much content that can be taken from the device. You can buy simple phones that have WhatsApp, but on most devices, it's just messages and calls." So there you go. It's kind of interesting, and we'll see if that continues to rise over there. And my guess is that once that gets out in the U.S., people will start buying them again as well. All right. I actually do have one of these phones like this, a person that's in this church that used to be a missionary in Thailand, worried about me all the time, got me one, and it's been sitting in my drawer for, what, 5 years? But if I ever need it, you know, to call you in private, I'll do that, okay? I'll have to plug it in, charge it or something, but there you go.
Wasn't it? Taking a trip somewhere?
Yeah, maybe. Did I give you a phone to carry with you one time somewhere? I don't know. Maybe. It was probably something like that. Yeah, well, no. It's probably not going to happen with me. Let's see. From the BBC. Israel's Mossad suspected of high-level Iran penetration. I didn't know this. I knew they had Mossad in Iran, but they have apparently gone way up in the Iranian government. In November 2020, a convoy carrying Mohsen Mohsen, Iran's most prominent nuclear scientist, came under fire. He was killed with an artificial intel-assisted remote control machine gun, something we reported on a year and a half ago. Carrying out an assassination in such a surgical fashion against a moving target without any civilian casualties requires real-time intel on the ground. After the killing, Iran's intel minister, Alavi, claimed that 2 months earlier, he had warned security forces that there was an assassination plot targeting this guy Mohsen at the exact location where he was shot. Mr. Alavi said the person who planned the killing was a member of the armed forces. "We couldn't carry out intel operations on the armed forces, but he indirectly implied the perpetrator was a member of the IRGC, which is Iran's elite military unit. If so, the agent would have to have been high up in the IRGC to have been able to brush off the warning and carry out the plan at the set date, time, and location." Sources inside Tehran's Evin prison security ward, where those who are accused of spying for foreign countries are held, have told the BBC that there have been scores of high-ranking IRGC commanders held there. The Iranian government does not publicize their names and ranks to avoid tarnishing the reputation of the Revolutionary Guards. A former intel officer for the IRGC Quds Force, which is their overseas force, has told the BBC foreign agencies have gathered evidence against a number of Iranian ambassadors and IRGC commanders. He said it includes information about relationships with women, which he said could be used to blackmail those officials to force them to cooperate with foreign spies. So Israel is, they're taking care of business in Iran. I'm surprised to read that, but there you go. From Israel Hayom, report, Turkish intelligence foils Iranian plot to assassinate Israeli businessman. The Turkey's National Intelligence Organization, which is MIT, recently uncovered an Iranian plot to assassinate an Israeli-Turkish businessman using a network of alleged hitmen. The purpose of the alleged assassination plot was reportedly to avenge the assassination of that guy that we just talked about, Mohsen, which was widely attributed to Israel's Mossad Foreign Intelligence Agency. Yair Geller, an Istanbul-based tycoon with investments in the machine and defense industries, was the target of a 9-person network that tracked his every move for months. MIT agents ran a month-long counter-surveillance operation before recently capturing the members of the Iranian network. One MIT official said the Iranian network had completed the reconnaissance stage of its mission and that his agency had reached out to Mossad to inform the Israelis that the Iranians were moving to the next step in their plan. I would not have expected this type of cooperation between Turkey and Israel, but there it is. Officials from the two intel agencies reportedly held a secret meeting in the Turkish capital, Ankara, and decided to move Geller to a safe house where Mossad operatives would provide him with protection. Geller, according to the report, declined the Israeli government's offer to relocate him to Israel for his safety, saying he would not leave Istanbul. Most of the members of the Iranian network were Turkish nationals, except for SMB, a 44-year-old Iranian man accused of running the network, adding that another suspect with ties to the Iranian intelligence service remained at large and is accused of managing the network from Iran. So there you go. That's some spooky stuff there that's just going on. You get a tit for tat. We're going to kill you. We're going to take out one of your people, but they failed. So we have some news concerning Christianity here, okay? Just so you all know this, if you want to go to Uganda and visit Isaac in Uganda, who I just mentioned, okay, you can go. There's no longer a vaccine requirement if you are unvaxxed. You can go to Uganda. He is asking for people to come and visit, and I would hope that some of you would take him up on it. I really think that you'd be blessed. You'd learn about things that you cannot believe. I've lived in third world countries, and I've lived in places where there is very little going on as far as sanitation, as far as, you know, houses with no windows put into them. They're just empty holes and stuff. And that's the kind of thing you'll actually see that type of life there, and you'll be able to empathize with what this guy, Isaac, has to put up with and to help these people get out of these circumstances. So I would hope that you could do that. All right. And then I also want to note that John and Shelley finished the Ruth sermons and then the Exodus sermons just this past Friday. And so they're going to move on from there. So that's another big leap for them. And I want to congratulate them on that. From Harbinger's Daily, federal judge issues emergency injunction. U.S. military systematically denying religious exemptions. Okay, I've been talking about this, but now we've got a judge that is involved in it. A federal judge in, yes, Tampa, has issued a temporary restraining order against the U.S. military, saying the DOD is unlawfully discriminating against service members by denying religious exemptions for COVID-19 shots. According to court documents, one plaintiff is identified as United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, whose appeal for a religious exemption from the COVID shot was denied. On February 2nd, she was to be added to the Officer Disciplinary Notebook, beginning the Board of Inquiry process and her command selection withdrawn, irreparably damaging her career. This officer would have been ultimately discharged from the Marine Corps. The second plaintiff, a U.S. Navy Command Surface Warfare officer, was denied a religious exemption from the COVID shot and faced immediate discipline when he would have been removed from command as a captain of his ship, irreparably damaging his career. The record in this action establishes that the two service members were very likely to prevail on their claim that their respective branch of the military has wrongfully denied a religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccination. The record creates a strong inference that the services are discriminatorily and systematically denying religious exemptions without the showing required under RFRA, while simultaneously granting medical exemptions and permitting unvaccinated persons to continue in service without adverse consequence. In his court order, Judge Mary Dotti prohibited Secretary of Defense Austin, a known communist, he's a traitor to the nation, from diminishing or altering in any manner and for any reason the current status of Navy commander and lieutenant colonel, including their assignment, privileges, rank, or the like. In short, Navy commander and lieutenant colonel must remain as is throughout the duration of this injunctive relief. Finally, we're getting some people that are making sense. They are destroying the U.S. military from the inside. They've got the woke agenda in there. They've got the Marxist agenda going on in there. And we need people to stand up. And this man is standing up for these people. Christians are going to be entirely eliminated from the U.S. military. This is a disgrace. This is an absolute disgrace. We have communists at the highest levels of our government. Every one of them should be tried, convicted, and then do whatever you do with these traitors. Okay, American faith, Pakistani teen. Anybody here live in Pakistan? If you become, yes, somebody, if somebody has been there, I believe, or to the border of it. Have you been there personally? No, Bangladesh is where you were.
If you recall, I had tickets to
Oh, that's right. You were supposed to go. That's right. Okay. So she hasn't been to Pakistan, but she has been all over Southeast Asia and South Asia as well, except Pakistan. Okay. We have a Pakistani team. If you are a Muslim in Pakistan and you convert, what is the normal penalty?
Death.
And so you keep your mouth quiet. Listen to this. We're all sitting here fat, dumb, and happy, aren't we? It's so easy to just ignore the person serving you at the table that you're about to have lunch or dinner at. Listen to this. Pakistani teen brings his entire tribe to Christ. A remarkable true story. A 17-year-old going by the pseudonym Rahen received Christ as his savior after meeting a truck driver who gave him an audio Bible, according to Mission Network News. The trucker, Safdar, began to meet with Rahen to talk about God. And shortly after, the boy was saved and baptized. But he was not able to keep the good news to himself. Rahen began to share the gospel with family members and neighbors at great personal risk. And his parents were the first to receive the gospel for themselves. Nehemiah from Forgotten Missions International explained that the fear of persecution didn't dissuade the teen, and he was able to bring the 60-person tribe to faith in Christ.
Wow.
Mission Network News reported that every person in Rahen's 60-person tribe reportedly stopped participating in Muslim prayer and turned to Jesus.
Wow.
That is something. I hope that shames everybody, including myself here today, that we are unwilling to tell about the Savior that came to die for us. And this guy put his life on the line to do this. And it doesn't mean it's over for him because the whole tribe, because the next tribe may come and kill them all.
Right.
All right. So let's pray. Let's go ahead and pray for him right now. Heavenly Father, we certainly pray for Rahen, and we pray for the entire tribe. And we also pray that for the person that gave him the audio Bible and was willing to speak to him about this. Lord, your hand is working in parts of this world while it's being hindered in other parts of the world by forces that are opposed to the simple pure gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would ask that this would continue to grow there and also return to the way it was here, where people are allowed to openly speak about this and that people will have the sense to understand who Christ is and to come to him. May it be so. Amen. All right, we got some news from the Mideast and Africa today from Israel Hayom. Republican senators vow to thwart any deal if Biden skips congressional review. Now, this doesn't mean that he's not going to sign the deal. He can, just like Obama did, okay? But the difference is that unless it goes through the Senate, unless it is approved, it is not a valid treaty. Hence, Trump was able to go in and say, we're getting rid of this. He just took it and threw it away because it was not an approved treaty, okay? The Republicans in the Senate say that they are going to do the same thing again. A group of 33 Republican senators warned Biden that they would work to thwart the implementation of any new Iran nuclear agreement if his government did not allow Congress to review and vote on its terms. Led by Senator Ted Cruz, a longtime opponent of the 2015 nuclear deal, the senators told Biden that they would use the full range of options and leverage available to ensure that his government adhered to U.S. laws governing any new accord with Iran. Any deal that fell short of a Senate-ratified treaty, and that's what's important, would likely be torn up in the early days of the next presidential administration. To ratify a treaty, I believe, I may be wrong on this, but I believe it has to be two-thirds of the Senate. They will never get it, okay? So we'll just, and it doesn't matter because it's going to happen anyway. I'm talking about it being turned down by the Republicans because whatever this guy approves is going to be bad for America and is going to be bad for Israel. The guy that is sitting in the White House right now will do everything he can to make the poorest deal possible. We've seen that for months and months already. All right, from JNS. After assassination of leader, ISIS likely planning revenge operations. Okay, why should this bother you? The February 3rd assassination of ISIS chief Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qureshi in northwest Syria represents an unmistakably severe blow for the terrorist organization. But it is also likely to trigger a campaign of revenge operations, a terrorism expert is cautioned. American media reports said in recent days that the green light to take out Qureshi was given by the White House months ago after establishing his location on the top floor of a home in northwest Syria. Michael Barak, a senior researcher at the International Institute for Counterterrorism, where he serves as the head of the Global Jihad and Palestinian Terrorism Desks, told JNS that just as ISIS embarked on a series of symbolic attacks following the 2019 assassination of Qureshi's predecessor, al-Baghdadi, the same response could occur now. Why should this concern you? It's because we have the southern border of the United States completely open. We have nobody monitoring it except a governor and his National Guard who are getting tired and fed up, okay? And they're just welcoming people in, just bringing them in. We had last year, what was it, 161 nations represented as coming over that border. 161. And most of them don't like our freedoms. They're not here for that. They're coming in for other reasons. They're coming in either to suck off of our freedoms or they are coming to harm us. That's why we should be worried about that particular issue. From Zero Hedge, Pentagon ramps up involvement in Yemen war as Biden reverses course. Remember, he was told, don't take away the terror status of the Yemenis. And the first thing he did when he got in office was take away the terror status. And now we've got a huge mess over there. Leave it up to the Democrats of this country to ruin everything, everything they touch. General Frank McKenzie, the head of CENTCOM, visited the UAE this week and vowed more support for Abu Dhabi's war against the Houthis as the U.S. escalates its involvement in the war in Yemen. We weren't even worried about that. We had everything we needed set aside. The Saudis and the Yemenis were taking care of business with each other, and we were kind of monitoring it, and now we're getting involved in it because of this guy. In the wake of the recent Houthi attacks on the UAE, I don't know if you've known that, but now the Houthis are attacking the UAE. The U.S. is deploying the USS Cole to the country. That's the ship that got blown up and 26 sailors were killed some years ago. Now they're back in harm's way. And McKenzie said a squadron of U.S. F-22s would arrive next week, which is this week now. We're going to bring in a squadron of F-22 fighter jets, the best air superiority fighters in the world, he said. McKenzie said the F-22s will work with the UAE to help defend the nation. None of this would have been necessary. None of it. But in recent weeks, the U.S. helped Abu Dhabi intercept Houthi missiles. He said the USS Cole will patrol the waters of the UAE, working closely with the UAE air defenders to protect their nation. The cooperation is framed as defensive in nature. But it's important to note that the Houthis wouldn't be attacking the UAE if the country hadn't been waging war on Yemen since 2015. The UAE's support for militant groups on the ground in Yemen has brought the Saudi-backed government recent success on the battlefield against the Houthis. McKenzie said the U.S. is also working to give the UAE the ability to hit Houthi drones inside Yemen before they're launched. We are working with our partners here in the region and with the industry back in the U.S. to develop solutions that would work against drones, what we called left of launch, which means before they can be launched, he said. Well, all of this is supporting the military industry. This is what the left wants. They've been doing this. They keep blaming the right for being the hawks in this nation. And we've always, listen, they've got us into all of the wars. They've got us into them, and they are the ones that have built up this vast military complex. It's the left. They're the ones that have the deep state. They're the ones that have the CIA spying on U.S. citizens right now. If you didn't hear that, that's out this week as well. Okay, these are known facts. This isn't something I'm just making up out of my head, okay? The left wants this type of thing going on because they produce more weapons and people get kickbacks and politicians get rich on $185,000 a year salary. This is the whole thing that's going on. Okay, now some interesting news from Mongolia. Actually, I would call this revolting news from Mongolia. This is from Episcopal News. I'd like to say this now, and I might say it again at the end of this. Hell is forever. I want you to know that. This isn't something we want to fool around with. From Episcopal News, you know they've gone from here down to here over the past 120 years. How an Arkansas priest wound up planning an interfaith prayer house in Mongolia with a Tibetan oracle. It might seem far-fetched for an Episcopal priest from Little Rock, Arkansas, to be working on an interfaith prayer house in Mongolia. It doesn't seem far-fetched at all to me. It sounds normal, considering them, a mostly Buddhist country between Russia and China. But here it is. Here's the reason why you got this problem. For the Reverend Susan Sims Smith, it's just the latest stage of her longtime dedication to fostering interfaith connections. the project, which is still in its initial stages and has been delayed by COVID-19, is a collaboration with one of the exiled Tibetan government's top Buddhist advisors. It draws on Sim Smith's experience creating the Arkansas House of Prayer, an interfaith haven for silent prayer and meditation in the woods on the outskirts of Little Rock. Sim Smith, wide-ranging spiritual journey has taken her to India, where she has learned from a spiritual teacher 18 times. She was ordained an Episcopal priest in 1999 and has served on staff at Little Rock's Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, in addition to her work in spiritual direction and couples counseling. "I'm deeply committed to Christ," she said.
Oh.
"Yeah, and I also have a lot of blessings from Hindu and Buddhist spiritual traditions that are enriching my Christian experience. I'd like to remind you that hell is forever. You may not believe that Jesus is the only way, and you may believe that, but you are the one that must stand before a holy God, the holy God, and make your presentation of your life before him. Whether you believe in God or not is irrelevant. Whether you believe that all paths lead to God or not is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the truth. And that is your job in this one life that you get to live, is to discern what is the truth." All right? Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From The Guardian, we talked about that super hot nuclear sun over in China a couple weeks ago. We got something similar here in the UK. Nuclear fusion heat record, a huge step in quest for new energy source. The prospect of harnessing the power of the stars has moved a step closer to reality after scientists set a new record for the amount of energy released in a sustained fusion reaction. Researchers at the Joint European Torus JET, a fusion experiment in Oxfordshire, generated 59 megajoules of heat. That sounds like Back to the Future, that car. I mean, that's a lot of megajoules, equivalent to about 14 kilograms of TNT during a 5-second burst of fusion, more than doubling the previous record of 21.7 megajoules set in 1997 by the same facility. The feat follows more than two decades of tests and refinements at the Cullum Center for Fusion Energy and has been hailed as a major milestone on the road to fusion becoming a viable and sustainable low-carbon energy source. These landmark results have taken us a huge step closer to conquering one of the biggest scientific and engineering challenges of them all. It's clear we must make significant changes to address the effects of climate change, and fusion offers so much potential. The donut-shaped JET is built to contain plasmas or highly ionized gases, which are heated to 150 million degrees Celsius, 10 times hotter than the center of the sun. At such extreme temperatures, atomic nuclei can fuse together to form new elements and release vast amounts of energy. The same fusion reactions power the sun, but at considerably lower temperatures, because stars have gravity to lend a hand. Experiments at JET have focused on whether fusion is feasible with a fuel based on two isotopes of hydrogen. Does anybody know what those two isotopes are? If you can guess, I'll give you...
Sure.
Go ahead.
Tritium and deridium.
He got it. I was going to say $100,000, but you didn't let me finish. Okay? I'm sorry you don't get the money, but that was incredible. That you could have been $100,000 richer if you had just waited a second. Wow, congratulations. That was deuterium and tritium, which combines to form helium gas. The latest results suggest that it is and provide crucial confirmation for ITER, a larger fusion project being built in the south of France. ITER is scheduled to start burning deuterium-tritium fuel in 2035 and ultimately generate more heat than is needed to keep its plasma at high temperature. If all goes well with ITER, the next step is to build a European demonstration power plant that produces more electricity than it uses and is hooked up to the grid. The prospect of fusion energy is deeply attractive because it does not release greenhouse gases, and 1 kilogram of fusion fuel contains about 10 million times as much energy as 1 kilogram of coal, oil, or gas. While the experiment released fusion energy for only 5 seconds, it proved that the fuel could be burned in a sustainable manner. It's been a while since they have produced a record like this, and it's a major milestone on the way to proving that fusion's a viable and sustainable energy source for the future. 5 seconds doesn't sound like much, but if you can burn it for 5 seconds, presumably you could keep it stable and keep it burning for many minutes, hours, or days, which is what you are going to need for a proper fusion power plant. It's the proof of that concept that they have achieved, he said. Good stuff. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of, and so we're going to see how that's developing. But before we do, I realized I got here this morning and it was cold, and I forgot to turn on the air, and I bet you guys are getting hot. So we don't want a Revelation plague in here, so I'm going to take care of that. I am so sorry about that. Okay, I've got it down. It'll get cold in a minute. You'll be putting on your sweaters. Okay, so that is avoiding a Revelation plague right in the superior word. Okay, from U.S. News. U.S. confirms highly pathogenic bird flu at Indiana turkey farm. This is bad news. The USDA reported an outbreak of highly pathogenic avian flu in an Indiana turkey flock, the nation's first case in a commercial poultry operation since 2020. They had found it in the wild. Now they found it in a farm. The outbreak brought swift reaction from importers seeking to limit the spread of the bird flu. China and Korea blocked non-heated poultry meat from Indiana, while Taiwan restricted poultry meat and egg products from the state, the USDA said on its website. Indiana said the strain of the virus was H5N1, and it was the state's first case of highly pathogenic bird flu in commercial poultry since 2016, when 400,000 birds were culled. The H5N1 strain has also been found in wild birds along the East Coast and has caused a wave of outbreaks in poultry across Europe and Asia. Canada confirmed H5N1 bird flu in a commercial poultry flock in Nova Scotia, triggering varying trade restrictions from importers. Okay, a couple days later, Epoch Times, bird flu detected now in Kentucky, Virginia, Indiana as outbreak spreads. And from USA Today, I think it was yesterday, may have been 2 days ago, bird flu detected at multiple chicken and turkey farms in Midwest and South, over 300,000 affected already. So this could spread very quickly and it could be real detrimental. So we'll see where it goes. From GB News, a further probable case of Lassa fever is also under investigation in the east of England. Lassa fever, it's like Ebola, but not as serious, but it's still very lethal. Mere hours after the Prime Minister announced the impending removal of remaining COVID restrictions in England, two Britons were diagnosed with Lassa fever, a viral hemorrhagic disease similar to Ebola. A further probable case of Lassa fever is also under investigation. The cases are within the same family in the east of England and are linked to recent travel to West Africa. Lassa fever is an acute viral hemorrhagic illness caused by Lassa virus. People usually become infected with Lassa virus through exposure to food or household items contaminated with urine or feces of infected rats. The virus, yes, it's like the Hunta virus out in the Midwest that we get from time to time. The virus can also be spread through infected bodily fluids. Prior to these two cases, there have been eight cases of Lassa fever imported to the UK since 1980. And now they have three at once. Lassa fever is endemic in a number of countries, including Sierra Leone, Nigeria, and Ghana. It kills roughly 15% of those who are hospitalized. 15%, whereas COVID is like 0.00001% or something, though it is milder than other hemorrhagic fevers such as Ebola. Okay, morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From the Christian Headlines, Biden admin slams laws that protect girls' sports. It's bullying and discrimination, they say. The Biden admin is condemning a new South Dakota law that prevents biological boys from competing in girls' sports, saying it undermines the nation's core values and would lead to children being bullied. Talking about core values, somebody in my family gets the weak. This is a liberal rag, by the way. Right on the front of this, Banning books, the growing campaign to protect students and parents from feeling discomfort. They're talking about banning books, LGBT, in schools, and they're equating it with people on the left banning To Kill a Mockingbird and things like that. They're equating them one for one, saying that this is banning books and that the conservatives are all a bunch of Nazis and this kind of stuff because we don't want moral perversion being taught to 3- and 4-year-olds. So this whole thing on the left is an agenda to destroy every foundational underpinning of our nation. So much for the week. Okay, Mail Online. Eighth graders are given assignment. Eighth graders. Given an assignment to use pizza toppings as metaphors for sex acts, such as olives equal this, and I can't even tell you what it was. It was so vulgar. Connecticut school has since admitted the task was a mistake. Yeah, eighth graders at John F. Kennedy Middle School in Enfield, Connecticut, received a pizza and consent assignment. It asked the students to list their favorite pizza toppings and use those as a metaphor for their favorite acts. I'll just say their favorite acts. That is domestic terrorism. That is domestic terrorism there. That is terrorism against the citizens of the United States of America. From the Christian headlines, abortions plunged 60% in Texas after the heartbeat ban. Success. Zero Hedge. Biden's new DOE hire is a queer activist who brags about puppy play, gimp kink. This guy, I don't know if you've seen this guy, but he literally... I can't tell you what he does. It's so vulgar. It's so vulgar. And he is appointed in the Biden administration to run parts of the DOE. These people are literally criminals. They need to be prosecuted for what they're doing to the people of this nation. Okay, I got some other news from around the world. And please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. I would like to say before I go into the other category, first, that we have a person that is sitting here right now. Her and her husband are visiting from Oregon. I already introduced them. But she found the Superior Word through the prophecy updates. And she kept hearing Charlie say, oh, I want you to listen to the sermons and stop watching 427 prophecy updates a week. What I want you to do is watch one prophecy update, maybe two, but definitely one, which is this one, and then forget all the nonsense and the hype that people make in those other reports, because 90% of it is, and I want you to listen to some sermons. And she was so impressed after starting the sermons that they've come all the way from Oregon to visit us. I am so thankful for your persistence in following the Word of God, both of you. I'm looking at her because his head is in the way, but that's okay. But there you go. That is wonderful commitment that you've made, and you will only be blessed more and more as you get into the Word of God and stay away from the sensationalism that people pump into you through these prophecy updates. I'm giving you news, and I'm not getting into a lot of speculation stuff because it doesn't do anybody any good. It tickles your ears, and then it's done, and it's usually wrong. Okay, now, having said that, Gabriella Castillo is just finishing the Genesis sermons and heading into Exodus. So my hat is off to this person as well. There you go. People learning the Word of God. From Zero Hedge, ABA forcing wokeness on law schools. The American Bar Association. Wokeness. Legal education is about to undergo a revolutionary change. And that's a good word for it. Revolution. These communists are... They've got a revolution going on to destroy our nation right now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
The ABA poised to mandate race-focused study as a prerequisite to graduating from law school. It's another instance of woke ideology being forced on the nation and may necessitate that the states revisit the ABA's government-granted near-monopoly accrediting power. This race-focused educational mandate is being forced on law schools through the ABA's Council of the Section of Legal Education and Admissions to the Bar. You got to go through this nonsense or you can't be a lawyer anymore. Much of ABA's power stems from the federal government, which is not surprising. You get the government involved and this is what you're going to get. Yeah. Law students must attend schools whose accreditor is recognized by the DOE to receive federal student loans. The ABA is the only federally recognized law school accreditor. Yet, ABA's accreditation power doesn't depend on only federal law. Graduating from a law school accredited by ABA is required in almost every state for applicants seeking admission to the bar. all 50 states recognize ABA accreditation. With only a small number of exceptions, most accept only ABA accreditation. ABA members drop from 300,000, meaning over 50% of the bar in 1980, to 194,000, meaning only 14.4% in 2017. So their numbers are going down because people don't like what they're doing, but they still have control over everything. ABA may once have been a proxy for the American legal community, but now it's just a proxy for the left wing of the American legal community. Yet its accrediting power continues. Zero Hedge. ATF tries to ban forced reset triggers as people begin to 3D print them at home. ATF came into this company. I was going to read you an article a couple weeks ago, and I didn't. But what it is, forced reset is a couple little pieces of metal that you put into where your trigger is, and it forces the reset. So it's very fast, but it is a single pull. And that's what the law says. Single pull means that you do not have a machine gun, and it is legal. The ATF doesn't care about the law, and they went in and they shut these people down. Their livelihood was taken away from them over something perfectly legal. Forced reset. In other words, it's pulling the trigger every time, which means it is not a machine gun. A machine gun, you pull it once, and it just keeps firing. That's a machine gun. Okay, but now, because these people have been forced into it, they've put out these specs right online, and you can print your own. The ATF has been coming after the Orlando-based Rare Breed Triggers. This is the article I was going to read you, and I just never got to it. The manufacturer of a drop-in AR-15 forced reset trigger since last summer. Everyone in the gun rights world has been following the ATF's attack on RBT. The feds say RBT's FRT-15 forced reset trigger for an AR-15 platform is classified as a machine gun. But the company claims otherwise, and they are right. Less than 2 weeks ago, Gun Owners of America, one of the most prominent pro-gun organizations, published an alleged leaked internal ATF email documenting plans to start seizing lawfully owned FRT-15s from manufacturers and resellers. RBT's president, Lawrence DeMonico, I guess, responded to the leaked memo and said, while he couldn't confirm it, I can tell you, we've received word from one dealer in Illinois late yesterday afternoon stating that the ATF visited him and handed him a cease and desist order and seized FRT-15 triggers. The ATF under the Biden admin is getting bolder and could rule by executive fiat on new guidelines for gun braces, serialized uppers, and 80% lowers as early as spring. The feds are also pursuing the ban of forced reset triggers. Many in the gun community have a bad feeling about an overarching ATF ahead of midterms as Biden must appease his anti-gun base. With that aside, we enter the world of 3D printing and how the gun community has embraced this technology over recent years to stay one step ahead of the ATF. This brings us to one YouTuber named Hoffman Tactical. It's a great video. You want to watch it? Bah, 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 bah. It's all forced reset, one pull at a time. One can noticeably tell the forced reset trigger speeds up the rate of fire, and it really does. The remainder of the video explains the design and printing of the trigger. Our point is no matter how much effort the Biden admin puts into banning guns and accessories through executive fiat, there is a rapidly growing community of law-abiding citizens 3D printing and evolving gun designs in their basements with 3D printers found on Amazon and free CAD software online, along with countless forums for discussion among other enthusiasts. Technology is far outpacing the ATF and is a countermeasure to make sure the government doesn't overstep its boundaries. The interesting thing about the design of this 3D forced reset trigger is that there are only three small 3D printed components that integrate with regular or mil-spec trigger group. If you looked at the 3D printed components, you'd have no idea they're even gun parts. This is why the ATF has their new rule changes they will be trying to implement in the spring, trying to cast the widest regulatory net possible with 3D printing and home builds. Who's to say what is and isn't a gun? Will the ATF regulate blocks of aluminum as 0% receivers? Or will they make a push to regulate source code or books on 3D printing and CAD files? Ultimately, the ATF is fighting a battle that it cannot win without a major increase in its power over taxpayers, which the Biden admin has continuously asked for from Congress. but it is unlikely to receive, said gun advocacy group the Machine Gun Nest. So what can the ATF do about law-abiding citizens printing guns and accessories at home? Ban printers? Regulate PLA purchases? Ban the ability to share CAD files? What are they going to do? They're going to do everything they can. From Axios, shoplifting reaches crisis proportions. Mail Online, Chicago teenager, 16, wearing an ankle monitor, carjacked a Lyft, and murdered a 15-year-old boy in a hail of bullets right after appearing before a judge on weapons charge. Mail Online, University of Alabama will strip the name of one-time governor Bibb Graves, who led Ku Klux Klan from campus building and rename it for the school's first black student. I love it. He's a Democrat.
Yep.
Actually, though, all they're trying to do is erase history so that they don't know. People think that Jim Crow was a bunch of Republicans when it wasn't. It was all Democrats. They're trying to obscure history. But I'm glad we're getting rid of a Democrat name anyway. So either way. Okay, from the Times of Israel, Israeli envoy. Russian invasion will remain a possibility until at least the month's end. This is them pushing the narrative because somebody is in Europe right now and they need to get her to look like some type of a negotiator. They'll withdraw and they'll say, we've got it all taken care of. It's all been handled. And Kamala Lama Ding Dong is the one that took care of it. That is what's going on here, folks. Okay. And if they go to war, you know, it is possible. And the reason why this is possible is because somebody may light a match on one side or the other and it just turns into a war. Okay. But they're playing games right now with people's lives because of that person, because she has to take over for the guy with lard in his head. Okay. I got a Lesserick here for you. Oh, wait a minute. I got a who said it? Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. Groucho Marx. Yeah. Okay, I got a Lesserick here for you, and I want to see if you can figure out what he's talking about. A teen had to let his faith show. His tribe all now, Jesus, do know. He told them of God and left them all awed. How far are you willing to go? Okay, I got a little bit of irony and we'll be done. Epic Times. Oh, wait a minute. Before we give the irony, once again, I'd like to announce that Sergio and Rhoda do have a new video app. I hope you'll enjoy it. It is very funny. If you have not seen the Jericho to Jerusalem walk, you want to go back to a couple seasons and watch that, and then you will understand what is being said in that video. And I know that somebody here had busted sides through the whole thing. She was laughing through it all, but please watch that video. Okay. Epic Times. This breaks my heart, but this is true irony. Mr. Get jabbed again, get boosted. Everybody in America must do it. It's the law. U.S. Surgeon General says he tested positive for COVID-19. Yeah. All right, Mail Online. Man who set aside $360 for his fiance's Valentine's Day, which was last Sunday or whatever, her Valentine's Day gift last year, reveals he deducted $1 every day that she yelled at him, leaving just $40 for her present. $40. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.